How many of you ready to hear the word? If you have your Bibles, hold them up. This is what we say every week because it's important. This is the word of God. Say it when you say, this is the word of God. I want you to know, Pastor Eddie's not going to preach from a book. No, you don't say that part. I'm not a motivational speaker, and I ain't preaching from a book. I'm preaching from the book. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. Because I want you to know, sometimes we read it and we see the promise and it takes a while for the promise to come to fulfillment. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Listen, sometimes I started a message series last week. Not sometimes. I did start a message series last week entitled, That's Life. Because sometimes in this life, whether you're good or bad, whether you're living uprightly or downright nasty or anything in between, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Can I get an amen there, right? And that's called life. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. He said, in that way, you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. Now, he's not talking about raindrops, as in what's happening outside. He's talking about the rain of stuff happening in your life. He's talking about life happening to you. Anybody in here living uprightly, and sometimes bad things happen. If that has not happened to you, just wait. It's just not your turn yet. Because sometimes bad things happen to good people. But it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us or forsaken us. It just means that we're going through life, and that's called life. And so I want you to kind of get your head around this. Some people come to Christ, and they've been told that if you just come to Christ and you live life as a Christian, then nothing bad's ever going to happen to you again. If you've been told that, you've been duped. That's a lie. That is not the truth. Jesus even said, in this world you will have all good things. No, he said, in this world you will have trouble. We all go through ups and downs, good times and bad times. We live in a fallen world and amongst fallen people. Proof. Friday, some guy ran his car through the front of Target. Right? Bad things happening to good people. Thankfully, there were good people in the store who helped other good people get out of the store unharmed. And the police acted quickly, thank God, right? And so sometimes bad things happen. Now, if you came to Christ with the idea that your Christian walk would be perfection, and you live with this perfectionism ideal, it won't be long before you realize that that is not true. And the moment that things are not perfect, the moment you lose a job, the moment someone, a girlfriend breaks up with you or a boyfriend breaks up with you or your husband or your wife says they don't love you anymore or you have financial problems or any other thing in between, you're going to say, God, where are you and how could you? Because we don't live in a perfect world and we don't live amongst perfect people. Although you guys are pretty perfect. Last week I started talking about this idea from the life of Joseph. The sermon was called Dream Anyway. We know that Joseph had a couple of dreams. And in those dreams, Joseph took, instead of sitting on the dream and stewarding the dream and praying over the dream, Joseph runs out and tells his brothers the dream. And it wasn't a good idea to tell his brothers the dream because the dream was his brothers bowing down to him. But as we well know, Joseph was number 10 of 12 kids. And in the Jewish family line, in order for you to rule or reign over your family, it's usually the oldest first. And if for some reason he could not or was disqualified, then it went to the next one, the next one, next one. The idea that Joseph would rule or reign over his brothers was highly unlikely. And I want you to know, but until we add the factor called God, right? It's called the but God factor. And when we put the but God factor in there, I want you to know anything is possible. I told you about my dream that I had 20 years ago. About coming to Christ. I had the recurring dream, and God says that dream you've been having is me calling you. But I want you to know I had another dream. And the other dream was a few months after I came to Christ. I had joined some gentlemen in a sanctuary much like this one for a prayer meeting. And we were it was a Wednesday morning, and I was down at the altar. It was in January, and it was cold, and we didn't have to turn the heater on. I don't know why it's like against the rules to turn the heater on, because it was cold. And I was in a coat, and I was in the corner just praying, and I was crying. And I wasn't crying because I was cold. I was crying because God was doing something in me, and I didn't really understand it. And I mean, I'm just weeping for no apparent reason. Everything was good in my life. My wife loves me. My kids were good. Everybody's healthy. No problems. And I'm just crying my eyes out in the corner. And I was like, what is wrong? I had my guys who were with me looking at me like, bro, you okay? Is everything okay? And I said, I don't know what's happening. I just can't. I just heaviness, and I can't break it. When I left the prayer meeting that day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, now I'm calling you to follow me in full-time ministry. I was a businessman at the time. I owned my own insurance agency. And I said, but God, come on, that's impossible. I'm 35. I've never been to seminary. I'm not religious in any way, shape, or form. You know me, God, I'm pretty raw. He said, I want you to follow me in full-time ministry. I had no idea what that looked like. How would that happen? So I get to work that day. I make one phone call. This guy that I met 2 years before this day was another insurance agent. I call this guy. I said, hey, I'm considering selling my insurance agency. If you know anybody interested, maybe just kind of putting it out there. Man, what a coincidence that you happened to call me today. Oh, why is that? He goes, well, this morning, my partner and I were having breakfast, and we were talking about expanding our agency and that we wanted to buy some other books of business in order to expand it. And you just happened to call me today. 60 days from that phone call, I was out of business and in the God business. Literally, when God wants you and God has a dream for you, there's nothing that's going to get in the way. Not even a business or my insecurity of how we were going to do this or what that was going to look like. And I want you to know, Joseph, even telling his brothers the dream before it was time, could not stop God's dream for his life. Now, last week, I have a feeling that I may have kind of set you up for some potential problems. I asked you, who wanted to dream God's dream? Man, everybody raised their hand. This place, I have a picture of the second service filled with people and all the hands that went up, and it was amazing. But I started to look at that picture, and I said, God, I probably set these people up for a rough week. And I bet you along the way through this week, there's been some detours in your life. Some things that have popped up to begin to get you to think that dream may have been some indigestion. That dream could have just been you thinking, you hoping, you wishing, instead of God asking or God calling, right? I want you to know today, I want to talk to you about this, to not let the detours deter your dreams. Every time that you begin to step out in faith, every time, not sometimes, every time you begin to step out in faith, every time you begin to follow God, listen to me, there will be detours in your life. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 37 in verse 14. That's what it says. So he said to him, Jacob, the father calls Joseph his son, go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks and bring word back to me. Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked, what are you looking for? He replied, I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they're grazing the flocks? They have moved on from here, the man answered. I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal has devoured him. Look at this next line. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Detours. When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him. Reuben said this to rescue him and then to take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing. And they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat their meal. They looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh. They were on their way to take them down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. Detours. Here, Joseph is just doing what his father asked him to do, going to his brothers to check on them. And his brothers began to plot and think of ways that they can cause some detours in Joseph's dream. Let's kill him and then see what will come of that dream. Let's do some things to strip him of the ability to let that dream come true. You know, one of the detours that we face in life as we begin to follow God can be the detour called Satan. Your enemy, the devil, does not want you to fulfill God's call and God's dream for your life. I want you to get that. You have an enemy that hates your guts. Oh, you were his best friend when you were unsaved. We were on the same team, but I switched teams. And then he didn't like that. And so he starts sending everything in his power. By the way, his limited power, I want you to get that. He has limited power over Christian people. Don't ever think the other way. He doesn't want you walking towards God's dream because he's afraid you're going to find it. He doesn't want you to fulfill that dream because he knows that you may take people with you. He knows if you fulfill God's dream, he'll never get you back. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said these words. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. In God's dream is abundant life for you and I. And the enemy does not want you to find it. He doesn't want you to live it. He doesn't want you to discover it because he knows if you do, you're never coming back. Once you get a taste of the goodness of God, you ain't never turning your back on God. The problem is most of Christianity. That ain't how I roll. God says, you want some? I said, I want it all. I'm jumping in the deep end. I don't want a little bit of Jesus. I want all of Jesus, right? That's the problem. I just take a little bit of Jesus. Could I get like an eighth? Could I get like a partial piece? Just a little something to carry. Can I just get a fire insurance card? That's all I want. I just don't want to go to hell. That's all. By the way, you can say that in church, dude. Then there, besides the devil, there are people that don't want you to discover God's dream. You know that the down and out never want to see their friends on the way out. And the minute your friends see you on the way out, they want to do everything in their power to keep you down right where they are. You know what? I want you to get this. If you have a real friend, your friends are going to want you to succeed. I got friends who want me to succeed. I have friends that I want to succeed. That's what a real friend does. But a friend, right? One of them friends, like not real friend. That's the ones that when you start to succeed, they try to drag you back down to where they are. Yeah. Oh, you know, you wouldn't want to take that great job with those great benefits. That would be good for you. Sure it would. Sure it would. Get some real friends. Get some friends that will champion you. Listen, Peggy and I, thank God, we have some real friends. I told this story at first service. When we came to our real friends and we said, hey, we believe God's calling us to start a church. It's going to be called New Beginnings. They said, we believe that. We've just been waiting for you to get on board. As a matter of fact, he reached in his pocket like this, pulled out a wad of cash and put it on the table. He said, here's the first offering to New Beginnings. That's a real friend, right? And I told you about my friend, the one who said, this church that you're dreaming of, this will never come to pass because you don't have what it takes. What he didn't understand was the but God factor. Right. Yeah, I may not. In the natural, I don't. If you put me in a lineup and you said, pick the one that would be the successful pastor, you would skip right over me. Tattoos, rough looking, kind of a little scary at times. Nope, not him. Oh, this little nice one right here, that's a good one. but God, right? And I want you to know, somewhere between God's dream and your destiny are some detours. Now, detours are just an indirect, a roundabout way or path or procedure to get you to where you're going. Detours are an inevitable part of your walk with God and your journey toward destiny. I told you about my friend who didn't think I could do it. But I want you to know that wasn't the only one. There were people along the way that were detours. I myself have been a detour at times, made wrong decisions, wrong choices. I know you find it hard to believe. I do too. But what I love about God is, in spite of myself, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my bad decisions, God says, I can still do it. In spite of Joseph's brothers, God still had a plan. Now I want to teach you a few things about detours this morning. So that way when you encounter them in your walk with God, you're not going to be taken back, or you're not going to be caused to run in the other direction or to cower and think, oh my God, I'm failing, or this is never going to happen. Detours sometimes can create distance, is the first thing I want to teach you. If you go to Genesis 37:19, it says, here comes that dreamer, his brothers said, here comes that dreamer. They said to each other, come now, let's kill him, throw him into one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal has devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. Joseph's brothers, by their sinful actions, thought they were creating more distance between Joseph and his dream, between Joseph and God's dream, between Joseph and God's destiny. And all the while, they were just setting him up, preparing him to get closer to the dream. What seemed like distance was actually a direct path. I want you to know, sometimes what may appear to be distance may be God putting you on the direct line to get exactly where you're going. So I would have never designed it like that. No, because you're not God, right? I'm glad I don't rely on me. Because if I relied on me, we'd be in a lot of trouble. The dream God has placed in your heart sometimes can create distance between you and others. Like I said, there are friends that will champion your dreams, and there are friends that will downright discourage your dreams. Because sometimes people don't want to see us succeed. But we have to take those dreams that God gives us, and we have to go to the dark place, the dark room. Anybody remember 35mm cameras? The old people, that's... So when I was a cop, like really a long time ago, I was a crime scene technician, and I used to take pictures of crime scenes with a camera. Click, 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 right? And I would have to wind the film and to protect it from the light, because it was called overexposure. If you took the film out in a regular lighted area or in the sunlight, it would overexpose and be ruined. And you couldn't see any of the pictures, any of the imprints, they wouldn't even be there. It was just white. We had this thing in our crime lab called a dark room. You know what I'm talking about. Dawn was the head of the crime scene division for St. Tammany. And we would take that film into the dark room and turn the light off and turn a black light on, and we would dip it in this liquid and string it up to properly develop the film. And after a time, after a process, the pictures would come out perfectly clear and perfectly readable. Same thing with your dreams. Sometimes you got to take your dreams to that prayer closet. You got to take your dreams so they're not overexposed to the wrong elements. So that in the prayer closet, the Holy Spirit can work on you and prepare you and work on the dream and prepare you to... Because let me tell you something. When you get a God dream, many times you're not ready for it. I wasn't ready. Think I was ready for this 20 years ago? I had a friend tell me at a barbecue in my backyard, so did you think a year ago you'd be a pastor? I said, a year ago I didn't even go to church. Get that. That is no lie. My last experience with going to church was walking out because I was bored. And I was hot, tired and hot, and my back was hurting from standing up on Christmas Eve, too. Releasing your dream too soon can cause overexposure and for it not to develop the proper way. Don't create distance. The second thing I want you to get about detours is this. Sometimes detours lead to more detours. Anybody in here ever made a bad decision that led to more bad decisions? Not this side of the room is like, we're good. Hey, we're good. This is the sinful people over here. They back there like I got two hands up. Yeah, I can take you back to some decisions that created detours. And the one bad decision created another bad decision, just like Joseph's brothers. They decide, hey, let's kill the dreamer. No, let's put him in a cistern. No, let's sell him to Ishmaelites. These guys are so crazy, they don't know what they're doing. They couldn't make one decision, much less two or three, and all of a sudden one led to another, because that's what bad decisions do. They lead to more bad decisions. Their anger and their hatred created detours in their lives and in Joseph's life. Now, I want you to understand this. I want you to get this. The Bible says that they decided to sell him to some Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites were children of Ishmael. It's not a hard question, I promise. Ishmael was the offspring of Abraham and the maidservant Hagar when he got impatient waiting on God. Sin caused Ishmael and put Ishmaelites in the path to take Joseph where he wasn't supposed to go. See, one sin causes another and another and another. And that's what happens. Listen, just don't ignore the first detour. When the first detour pops its head up, deal with it. Deal with it. Put it away and take care of business and move on. The third thing that I want you to get this morning is this. Sometimes detours can lead to destruction. So the boys go back and they show the robe to their father and they say, is this your son's robe? And he is distraught. In verse 34, it says, then Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and mourned for his son many days. Listen, their sin, the boys' sin, led to further destruction, all because no one was willing to step up and do the right thing. Listen, I want people around me that will step up and call me out when things are not going right. When I'm making stupid choices and bad decisions, by the way, you can say that in church too. I have people around me that will tell me, that's not the best idea. That's not the best choice. And you know what? And I am appreciative of the leadership around me that prays for me and walks with me and helps me make the right choices, because if I didn't, there's no telling what I would do. Because sometimes left to ourselves, we can do some dumb things. But sin is contagious. It's like Lay's potato chips. You can't eat just one. You can't commit just one. One leads to another and another and another, right? I told you a few minutes ago in John 10:10, Jesus said the words, the thief comes only to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. You know what he does? He causes destruction. Destruction is the devil's modus operandi. That's Latin for method of operation. That's what he does. Listen, here's what he does. He steals your joy, steals your family, steals your future, kills your hope, kills your faith, destroys your dreams, your marriage, and your reputation. All these things lead to destruction. 10 brothers could not make up their minds what to do. 2 of them wanted to do one thing, 8 of them wanted to do something else, and they could not come to an agreement. Be careful who you are in agreement with. Listen, I put people around me, I don't put yes people around me. I put people around me that will help to hold me accountable. You need people around you that will hold you accountable and make you better. Listen, if we're not making each other better, we're making each other worse. We don't need that. Don't allow detours to cause the destruction of your dreams and your destiny. And finally, detours can be the death of a dream. So when the Midianite merchants in verse 28 came, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites who took him. to Egypt. Joseph was now on his way to Egypt. And I'm sure the thought of going to Egypt was like, this is it. Dream's over. I'm done. And do you know, for the next 13 years of Joseph's life, he would wander from one detour to another detour and another detour. He would go through things that he never dreamed he would go through. But I want you to know the things he thought were detours were steps toward God's destiny. I want you to know the things you're going through right now, God hasn't turned his back on you. He's not saying, I don't know, I'm not looking. You go ahead and go through that. He's right there with you, whatever it is you're going through, and he's going to make sure, number one, that you get through it, and number two, on the other side of it, he's got a plan, he's got a purpose for what you're going through. He's going to make sure you get to where he wants you to go, because it's your destiny. Don't allow detours to bring your dreams to an early grave. Listen, there was a group of people that left Egypt, 2 million of them. They left Egypt headed for a place called the Promised Land. The Promised Land was said to be an 11-day journey. 11 days we'll be in the Promised Land. Those 2 million people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, never making it to their destination. An entire generation died off in the wilderness because they refused to believe and trust God. The worst thing in the world is unrealized potential and unfulfilled dreams. Do you know what this is? It's an acorn. But if I just show you this little acorn and say, this is the mightiest of all the trees in the garden, you'd say, it's like an acorn to me. Doesn't look like a tree. Doesn't look like anything mighty. Pretty small. If I put it on the ground, I step on it, I'm going to crush it to a million pieces. Yeah, right now in its current form. And sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror and we think, just an acorn. Ain't much happening here. And God says, yeah, but inside the acorn is a God-sized potential. And God says, the only way for you, for it to get what it's supposed to be and for you to get where you're supposed to be is to make sure you plant yourself in God's garden. Make sure you plant yourself in the Spirit of God and be watered by the Spirit of God and let God wash over you day after day and run after him day after day. So one day you grow up, because I got this acorn from that oak tree right in front of this church. But you know what? If I stick it in my pocket, it'll never be what it was supposed to be. And if you just sit here on one of these seats Sunday after Sunday, you'll never be what you're supposed to be. God's plan's way bigger than this. Acorn. Potential. God potential in every one of you. Don't let your dreams die before they're fulfilled. Remember, take them into the dark room. Turn the right amount of light on. Pray over them. Begin to steward that dream. God, show me the next step. Because as I kind of alluded to a little while ago, do you know that when God gave us the dream of this building, you know, how many of you remember last May the 5th, we had our big day in May here, and we had a big plan out on a tripod in the foyer, and we had everybody sign it. Do you know that that plan doesn't look hardly anything like this? Because along the way, we had to make some changes. See, that was just an idea. Because I hadn't yet completely prayed over that one. That wasn't yet completely finished. The work wasn't done. I just put it out there, overexposed it, and y'all signed it. And it looks close to that, but it wasn't quite finished. And now, look what God has done, right? It's done, and it's finished. All because we stewarded the plan. We stewarded God's dream. James chapter 1, verse 2 tells us that we're to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. How many of you are so excited when you got to face a trial? Oh, God, I just love trials. God, can you just give me another one? Tomorrow, maybe, God. Anybody lining up for the trial? Hey, we're going to have a trial line. It's right outside this door to my left after service. I bet y'all are going out the right door. Nobody wants to go through trials, but what James tells us is that We know that the trials lead to the testing of our faith, and the testing of our faith produces something called perseverance. Perseverance is a Greek word called hupomone, which means to push against the things that are pushing against you. Listen to me. Life happens. It happens to us all. Are you going to push against it or let it push you over? No, we're going to push against it because we're going toward a God dream and a God destiny. Would you stand with me? You can't be mature and complete till you start pushing against the things that are pushing against you. Detours create what appears to be sometimes some distance. Leads to more detours, can lead to destruction and can be the death of a dream, but that's called life. We can't allow the detours to cause more detours. That could ultimately deter our dreams. I want you to remember this. Although the devil may come, although so-called friends may dissuade, the authority of Almighty God is in you to stand against anything that comes against God's plan and God's dream for your life. If you have an unrealized God dream this morning, you say, you know what? I haven't made it there yet. I want you to just raise your hand and show me. I got some unfulfilled God dreams. Heavenly Father, look at the unfulfilled God dreams in this place today. I know, God, with the right amount of your light, your Holy Spirit, God, we can be anything that you call us to be and desire us to be if we'll just simply follow after you and not, as Carlos said earlier, not lean on our own understanding. God, in all of our ways, acknowledge you. And the Bible says you will direct our path, even through what appeared to be detours. Jesus, we're not going to allow anything to stand in the way of the dreams and the purposes that you have for our lives. God, I believe this is a dangerous crowd. There are people around them, neighbors, co-workers, friends and family members whose lives are about to be radically changed forever because of the people in this place, the ones who are willing to follow God's dream for their lives. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill each one of us to overflowing so that we can go out and do what you've called us to do, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. And we will go and we will do what you've called us to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.